Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Also online, michaelsavage.com. Check out some of the stories we're going to be talking about tonight. And obviously, a lot of this is going to be about the government shutdown. Well, the government didn't really shut down. The slowdown. Fox News is calling it the slim down. Whatever you want to call it. Maybe we need to get Michelle Obama to do the Let's Move campaign on the government. Let's come on now. You call those calves, I've seen smaller steers. Let's move. We've got a slim down. It's the slim down for the federal government, but it's going to kill you. How the federal government shutdown will kill you. Details tonight at 11:45. Now, you know they can't tell you right away. They have to have you tune in for a long time. So we're going to get into all of that, how President Obama is now saying he's exasperated with these awful Republicans, and, hey, listen, he's a nonpartisan guy. At that point, just a minute. And I want to compare candidate Obama with President Obama on this individual mandate. Okay? Then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Harry Reid was asked, why do you hate children? Wait till you hear his response. Of course, the mainstream media blaming the Republicans for this. And before the hour's out, we'll get to those so-called glitches on the healthcare exchanges and why, really, hey, why do you expect more from us than you do from your iPhone? What? It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage. Don't forget, starting January the 2nd, the Savage Nation is moving to 3 to 6 Eastern time. Big move for Michael and the Savage Nation. All right, let's get right into what's going on today in the drama that's unfolding. The days of our lives. Wait, that's already a soap opera. You can't use that one! All right, I've come up with a new name. But, aren't you just beside yourself with the worry on what's going to happen if they don't, you know, get everything back up and running tomorrow? Did you know a quarter of the White House staff is staying home now? A quarter of them. Guess how many that means are staying home from the White House staff? Just the White House staff. I'm not talking about Secret Service. Just the White House staff that runs the White House. And I'm assuming all the people who work for the president, 1,265 are staying home. Over 400 are still coming to work. You think we could do with a few less people working there? No, not at all. They're all keep. Why do you want to fire people? These are jobs we need. Yeah, we do need them because 90% of the new jobs created in the last year under this president, part-time workers. I'm sure that has nothing to do with Obamacare. Just a total coincidence. So Obama met for more than an hour today with Republican and Democratic congressional leaders. They were trying to work out a plan to get the government up and running again. And, of course, this was a big negotiation time, right? No. It was so that President Obama could pull them all together and tell them, I'm not negotiating with you. Why would you have a meeting and call people in and say, I'm not negotiating? We're not giving you anything. We're not doing anything for the American people. Because remember, this isn't, he keeps saying, you know, why should I give them anything? It's not about you, Mr. President. It's not about you giving them anything. It's about you helping the American people. Well, I won the election. Yes, and all the people in the House won the election the same night. And more Republicans won than Democrats. And that tells you something. And when you look at the polls, a majority of Americans in poll after poll now disapprove of your signature historic law. Well, it's historic and I'm not giving it up. A lot of things have been historic that have been bad. The Etzel was historic. You know, I mean, the plague was historic. I don't think that necessarily makes it great. But hey, it's historic. It's the law of the land. That's the other one I love. It's the law of the land. You can't change it. And you certainly can't defund it. You know what else is the law of the land, Mr. President? Have you heard of this little thing called the fence along our border with Mexico? You realize that for 7 years, the law of the land is that we're supposed to be building a real fence along the entire border. Do you realize that Congress has defunded a majority of that fence? And that we also turned it into a virtual fence? That now we've defunded that part of it too? But yet the law hasn't changed. So how is it that that's okay, but this isn't? You know what else is the law of the land, Mr. President? Our laws against illegal immigration that you have gone around with executive orders. You know what else is the law of the land, Mr. President? Minimum mandatory federal laws on prison time for drug sentences. And yet you and your Attorney General, Eric Holder, have gone around that law. So how is it that the laws you want to go around are okay, but not the laws that Congress wants to work with you to change? He says he's exasperated by the two-day-old government shutdown. Yeah, and you really need to hear this, because he wants you to understand this. I am the guy trying to work with these people, okay? On CNBC, President Obama gave a little interview, cut 21 here, where President Obama starts to talk about what he's done to help the Republicans. Cut 21.
During the course of my presidency, I have bent over backwards to work with the Republican Party, and have purposely kept my rhetoric down.
He's bent over backwards. Bent over backwards. To keep his rhetoric down? Are you kidding me? This is the guy who said just today, there's an extremist wing of one party that should not be allowed to extort concessions in ways that delays funding for much of the government. Others in his administration have said that the Republicans are terrorists with bombs strapped to their chests. They called them arsonists, anarchists, kidnappers, but he's kept the rhetoric down. Cut 22, President Obama talking about what type of guy he is.
I think I'm pretty well known for being a calm guy. Sometimes people think I'm too calm. And am I exasperated? Absolutely I'm exasperated, because this is entirely unnecessary.
He's a calm guy who's up there saying these guys are extortionists, arsonists, terrorists. Let me let you hear it from him. Cut one here, when Obama's talking about how Obamacare's here to stay. Listen to the very beginning of this.
I know it's strange that one party would make keeping people uninsured the centerpiece of their agenda.
Okay, stop it right there. So let's just stop for a second. Did you hear that? The centerpiece of their agenda is to keep people uninsured. No. So now, this is the guy that, hey, I'm bending over backwards to tone down my rhetoric. He's essentially accusing the Republicans of wanting people to not have insurance, get sick, and die. And these are the people he's supposed to work with for the next 3 years. You know, my background's in counseling psychology, did a lot of work in communication and helping people get along. And the number one thing you can do in communicating with somebody that will make them not want to work with you is to impugn their motives. I mean, for instance, let's say that you're the boss and your employee comes in late to work. Here's the best way to get him to not want to work with you. You don't care about your job, do you? You're just lazy. You don't care about anything. You're disrespecting me. I mean, that's the only reason you could be late, right? You think that's going to get a good response from the employee? Or would it be better to say, hey, John, I noticed that you came in a little late today, and I know you care about your job a lot, and you're almost always here on time, so I'm guessing that something's up. What's going on? Which one do you think is going to get better results? So Obama impugning their whole motivation for what they're doing. It can't be that they actually think Obamacare is bad for the country. It can't be that we think Obamacare is going to hurt more people than it helps. It can't be that there's a better way to improve our healthcare system than going down the slippery slope to socialism. It can't be that they're worried that people are losing the doctor and insurance plan that they like. It can't be that it costs more for a vast majority of people than the people who will be saving some. It can't be that it costs over $1 trillion in new taxes. It can't be any of that. It has to be they just don't want people to have insurance. And can you understand why maybe the Republicans feel like they can't trust this guy. You think? That might have something to do with it? Hey, let me get Walter in on line 8 here from WABC. Walter, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
You know, it's funny. Just to hear you talk, that's exactly what the Republicans' plan is. They want... How many people do you think have just signed up for Obamacare over the last 2 days? 200, 300,000? And now you want to tell these people that they finally got health care, they finally don't have to run the gauntlet of the emergency room, and you want to take it away from them. Great.
Well, okay, Walter, hang on a second. Okay, first of all, they won't tell us how many people signed up, which makes me think it didn't go too well. In Louisiana, precisely zero signed up yesterday, according to Blue Cross Blue Shield there, who is one of the four on the exchanges, because they couldn't get the online system to work. Secondly, the vast majority of people in this country either have insurance or are covered by Medicaid or have chosen not to. There's a new poll out that 25% of the people uninsured are still going to choose not to be insured and pay the fine. Thirdly, Walter, I don't know if you're aware, but the Republicans have an alternative plan that would allow insurance to be sold across state lines, that would allow you to have more in your health savings account, that would give you the same tax deduction your employer gets to pay for your health insurance so you could pay for it on your own, that has high-risk pools for people with pre-existing conditions, that also has a tort reform plan in there so doctors don't have to practice defensive medicine. You roll all those things together, and you're going to have people with a lot more chance of getting good, affordable health care without destroying everybody else's, and that's the key, and that's the plan. So, Walter, I'm sorry. The idea that the only possible way you could get health care is through Obamacare is just not true. Thanks for the call. You can jump in, too. It's 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And, you know, candidate Obama, it's interesting because President Obama has now shut down the government over something he campaigned for when he was candidate Obama. I've got the audio to prove it. We'll get to it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com online. And, of course, we're talking about the government shutdown deal. And what's interesting is, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet, but the very last bill that the House sent over that really could have fully funded this thing and gotten it done was pretty simple. It said, Mr. President, you have changed your law unilaterally without Congress by exempting for a year the employer mandate, forcing these big employers to abide by Obamacare. So all we're saying is, let's do the same thing for individuals. For a year, let's delay the individual mandate forcing people to buy insurance. Said no. Oh, and also, we're going to actually enforce the law as it's written for Congress and their staffers, because you, once again, changed your law unilaterally, not going through Congress, and said that Congress and their staffers would be exempt from the law that says you cannot get subsidies if you make a certain amount of money. So you keep changing your law, but supposedly somehow, if we do it, we're extortionists, arsonists, terrorists, and kidnappers. So all we're doing is we're saying this, let's delay this individual mandate for 1 year. And he still said no. He shut down the government over that. But it's interesting because back in 2008, if we go back into the Wayback Machine, candidate Obama campaigned on being against the idea of forcing you to buy insurance. Hillary Clinton said you were going to be forced to buy insurance. He said, no, I would never want to make you do that. Let's go back to 2008. Cut 6, please.
If a mandate was the solution, we could try that to solve homelessness by mandating everybody buy a house. The reason they don't have a house is they don't have the money. And so our focus has been on reducing costs, making it available. I am confident that if people have a chance to buy high-quality health care that is affordable, they will do so. And that's what our plan does, and nobody disputes that.
See, no, nobody disputes that. All we have to do is make it cheaper, and everybody will buy it. We won't have to force people to buy it. And he's forcing people to buy it. He, in fact, he's so dead set that you have to force people to buy it, he's willing to shut down the government, then give a 1 year waiver on people having to buy insurance. Are you, no, there's more. That wasn't just the one time he said it. Let's hear cut 7.
Senator Clinton has a different approach. She believes that we have to force people who don't have health insurance to buy it. Otherwise, there will be a lot of people who don't get it. I don't see those folks. And I think
that's enough of that one. Let's go to the next one because there's more time. Let's go to cut eight.
She mandates that everybody buy health care. She'd have the government force every individual to buy insurance. And I don't have such a mandate because I don't think the problem is that the people don't want health insurance. It's that they can't afford it. So
okay, that's good right there. And so let's go to cut nine, another
Our
one.
Health care plans differ slightly in how we deal with mandates. She wants to, you know, have government force you to buy health insurance. I believe that the key is not that people don't have health insurance not because they don't want it, but because they can't afford it. And so
there you go. So listen, those were four different times. Not the same time, not the same debate, not the same speech, not the same interview. Four different ones that I found in about 10 seconds on Google at YouTube. Okay? So this is a man who campaigned saying, I'm not going to make you buy insurance. And now he's shutting down the government because he's forcing you to buy insurance and won't even give you a one-year waiver, even though he's given that to his employer cronies. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? Let me get Greg in, WABC. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Greg, first of all, I wanted to thank you for sending the 200,000 pounds of care packages to our troops in Iraq.
Oh, man, I was glad to do it. Absolutely. Thank you for remembering.
Well, you're too humble to mention it on your show, and I want everybody out there in the Michael Savage listening audience to know what a patriot you are and how you support the military. So God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My comment is this. Everyone can go back and read Madison's notes and the Federalist Papers where the Founding Fathers specifically gave the power of the purse to the House for one main reason. That was to rein in the event of a tyrannical, oppressive, dictatorial, imperial president who was abusing his power in office. It was the House, and the control of the power of the purse specifically was given this power to rein that oppressive president in.
Exactly. Greg, I'm up against the clock, but exactly right. We'll expand on that in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Dog 560. Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com online. Got a lot of great stories up there. Some of them were already hitting here with the shutdown. Go check it out. See what we've got to offer on michaelsavage.com. And don't forget, Michael's going to be on starting January 2, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Savage Nation moving to your afternoon drive time on your radio dial. You know, the last caller saying, hey, Greg, the House is doing what it's constitutionally allowed to do. The founders wanted the House in charge of spending, and he's absolutely right. And if you go back and read the Founding Fathers' documents and read the Federalist Papers, what they said was, we want the House to be in charge of spending, to originate all spending, because the House members are elected every 2 years, and they're the closest to the people. The people elect them. Remember, at the time of the founding and all these documents being put through and how we're going to elect these people, the U.S. Senate was not elected by the people. The U.S. Senate was elected by the state legislatures. So the U.S. House was closest to the people. Every 2 years, they got to run again. So they thought the people would keep the House in check so there wasn't too big of a money grab from the people. So the Constitution says all spending must originate in the House. The Senate can amend when it gets sent to them, the budget, but not add to the amount. They can amend and change where they want the money to go. They can't add one penny of spending constitutionally to what the House proposes because they cannot originate spending. It was just like the founders gave the senators the power to consent or reject the presidential nominees. Doesn't matter if the House is 100% one party and the president's that same party. If the Senate is the opposite party, they could stall all kinds of things for the president. That's the way they set it up for a reason. Meanwhile, Harry Reid took to the Senate floor and he was talking passionately about how those evil Republicans want little children who are stricken with cancer to die, to not have their medical trials. And that's part of what's being shut down by these evil Republicans. So the Republicans said, hey, you know what? We sure don't want that to happen. Let's fund those trials. Let's fund the National Institutes of Health so we can get those trials back up and running. To which Harry Reid said, no. And unbelievably, CNN's Dana Bash came out, and she challenged Harry Reid on this. Kind of blew my mind. I mean, what's going on with these people? CNN, Dana Bash, asked Harry Reid, well, wait a second. The Republicans have said they want to fund that so the children can get their cancer trial started again. Why wouldn't you want to go ahead and say yes to that? Here's his response, cut 18.
Listen, Senator Durbin explained that very well. And he did it here, he did it on the floor earlier, as did Senator Schumer. And it's this. What right did they have to pick and choose what part of government's going to be funded? It's obvious what's going on here. You talk about reckless and irresponsible. Wow.
Right. Okay. So he didn't answer the question. Why would you not want to save those children that you're claiming are dying because they don't have the trials when they said they would fund it? Well, why should they have the right to pick and choose? Because they're the House, and they have the right to fund the government the way they see fit. You know, obviously you get input here, but why should they just do whatever you want them to do? They were elected, too. In fact, they were elected the same night that Obama was elected. And by the way, the House and the Senate determine all the time what they want to fund and not fund. All kinds of things we have on the books that aren't fully funded. I mean, isn't that why President Obama told you we have to pick and choose what we do with our legal immigration law because we just don't have the necessary funds to do everything that's required by the law? Well, why don't we fully fund that? We haven't fully funded defense to Mexico. So we do it all the time. But Dana Bash doesn't give up. CNN Dana Bash, I couldn't believe it. She says to Harry Reid, she throws back the favorite liberal line right in his face. And you could tell he was not happy.
Here's that line. They're obsessed with this Obamacare thing. Oh. It's working now, and it'll continue to work, and people will love it even more than they do now by far.
Right, people are already loving it. Well, wait now. Cut 20 here is where Dana Bash says to him, if you could save just one child's life, why wouldn't you do it?
But if you can help one child who has cancer, why wouldn't you do it?
Listen.
Is that Head Start, Ronald? Why one against the other?
Why would we want to do that?
That was Chuck Schumer chiming in going, why play one against the other? He was trying to bail Harry Reid out, and Harry Reid stepped right in it. Why would we want to do that? Because you told us these kids were dying, Harry. That's why. And what he really did was show you the game. The game is, let's get as much pain as possible. Let's try and get as many people upset about this as possible and try and blame it all on the Republicans, and then we'll get what we want. It's not about the children with cancer for Harry Reid. If it was, he would say, okay, let's do that. Why would we want to do that? I mean, isn't that pretty much everything you need to know? That's crazy, isn't it? Hey, let me go to Cheryl, WKIM in Memphis. Cheryl, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
My thing is that Obama is the president not just for one party or the other. Even though he is a Democrat, he represents all American people. And this thing that he did with blocking off the monument to the veterans, I think the veterans should go right straight up to Congress and say, look, this guy is a traitor. He's funding our enemies. He's making our boys in uniform have to fight people with tanks and jets when they used to be fighting people who had rocks and sticks. And he is acting like he's an enemy of the people. And this thing with the children, that just shows very cold-hearted people up there that we didn't even know were there, you know?
Cheryl, absolutely. He's trying to bring the pain. Thank you. They're trying to bring the pain in the World War II memorial for the World War II vets. And, of course, they went right through it, and God bless them for doing it. And I'm going to talk about that big time next hour. They're trying to bring the pain to try to make you think that these evil Republicans want to kill little children with cancer. And when they go to refund it, no, we're not going to be allowed to do that. Does that make any sense to you? It really shows the game, doesn't it? Daniel, WJTK in Florida, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for Michael. Go right ahead.
Greg, the thing that bothered me is Obama was making a speech, and he said that you could call this number, whatever number, and that all it was so easy, and he said it was in 150 different languages. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. 150, why would they give directions for health care in 150 different languages? You have to speak fluent English just to be a citizen of the United States. Is he trying to ensure all the illegal immigrants or whoever sneaks across our borders? I mean,
you know, it's a great question, Daniel, and thanks for the call. Here's the thing. You can be a legal immigrant to this country and use the Obamacare exchanges. Now, I think even that is debatable on whether we should have it in 150 languages. To me, see, here's the thing. I'm a first-generation American. My mom came over here from Great Britain after World War II. She was 9 years old. My grandfather died flying for the Royal Air Force. So she came over when she was 9, right after World War II, with my grandmother and my aunt. She lived, the whole family lived in the basement of my great uncle until my grandma got a job and could take care of herself on her own. She worked for General Motors for 30 years. But before that, she worked out of the basement taking in laundry and doing sewing. Never took a penny from any government program. Never signed up for any government program. So if you come here as a legal immigrant and you're signing up for Obamacare and we're subsidizing you, does that make sense? I think it's a good question. You can chime in, too, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. And by the way, the mainstream networks, Paul Bedard and also over at Media Research Center, they've been tracking this, the big three networks. They are blaming the Republicans to the Democrats 21-0. 39 stories leading up to the shutdown, CBS, ABC, NBC. They blame the failure to cut the budget deal on the Republicans 21 times. They blame both parties 4 times. They blame the Democrats only 0 times. And in 14 stories, nobody was to blame. Let me get John in, WABC. John, you are on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Greg? Good evening. I've been a member of the Tea Party since 2009, okay? I believe in language, culture, and borders, and, of course, the Constitution. My neighbors, you know, there's whispering going on. I'm a right-wing radical, this and that. Which
you better watch out. The NSA is tracking you, John.
Yeah, which exactly. I guess it's I think it's a star. Anyway, I'm being called a radical. Okay, now since Theodore Roosevelt took office, okay, through the presidency up until Obama, there were issued 116 executive orders. Since Obama took office, in 4.5 years, he has issued 923 executive orders. Who's the radical?
Well, John, that's because, you know, he can't work with these awful Republicans in Congress. I mean, what do you expect him to do? I mean, that's good. John, thanks for the call. That is good stuff. I didn't know it was that big. That is an enormous number. And here's the thing. The only reason you're supposed to do these executive orders on things like not enforcing a law or changing this law or that law is because of constitutional reasons, not for policy reasons. And yet he continues to do it for policy reasons. And this is the guy who claimed that Bush was using too much presidential power when he simply did signing statements saying, I'm not going to enforce that part of the law because I think it's unconstitutional, which a president's allowed to do. And then you take him to the Supreme Court if you think any differently. It's amazing, isn't it? This is the kind of stuff that he's been doing, and yet if you point it out, you're the radical, as John said. That makes you radical. You realize that? Let me get Mike in. Mike from WMAL. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious. I mean, I thought the Constitution had a clause in it that stated there's equal protection under the law, and the way Obama has been treating his, quote-unquote, signature law of the Affordable Health Care Act, he's giving exemptions to Congress, to big business, to the unions, to his cronies, and everybody else that asked for it. But yet the average American middle-class person who is struggling to make it in the economy the way it is right now, yeah, no exemptions for us.
Excellent point, Mike. Excellent point. Thanks for the call. I'll tell you, they keep saying this is the law of the land. It's the law of the land. It's here to stay. There's nothing you can do about it. It's law of the land, law of the land, law of the land. You can't change it. Obama has changed the law in 19 different ways. Obama has granted over 11,000 waivers. Obama delayed the employer mandate for a year. Obama keeps changing the law unilaterally, as does Kathleen Sebelius, and yet somehow it's the Republicans who want to change the law. And as he just pointed out, it's supposed to be equal under the law. And in fact, after the contract with America under Gingrich, they put in a special law saying Congress does not get special exemptions. The Obamacare law, Senator Vitter put in, that Congress and its staff would have to use the Obamacare exchanges. And Obama changed that, too, to give them a special waiver to get them subsidies that they don't qualify under the law. But other than that, you're right. They're treating everybody the same. Hey, in just a second, I want to get you an update on the so-called glitches with the Obamacare that started yesterday in these exchanges and how Obama was trying to compare it to an iPhone. We'll get you that in just a minute. Take more of your phone calls. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. He starts January 2 live, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Savage Nation moving on your radio dial to that time slot starting January 2. You can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. We haven't even gotten into all the glitches, as Obama calls them. Glitch is a minor problem, by the way. I think it was a little bit more than a glitch when people were waiting for hours to sign up for this thing yesterday. And, you know, we'll talk about it some, but it's really not the biggest problem with Obamacare. I mean, even if this thing went perfectly yesterday and everybody could sign up like that, that's not the problem. The problem is the whole system. We'll get into that, too. But it's amazing to me. MSNBC, the biggest cheerleader for Obamacare and for Obama that's on the networks. Even MSNBC could not put lipstick on this pig. Listen to this MSNBC anchor woman, and we've kind of put together this little montage of her explaining how she struggled trying to sign up for Obamacare Cut 13.
So we're about 30 minutes into the process. I've been able to set up my account. I was in the process of verifying my identity, and I hit a roadblock on the website. I kept getting an error message. So I tried to initiate an online chat. That didn't go anywhere. Now I'm on hold. It's my second time calling. All in all, it's been about 10 minutes where I'm waiting to speak to a person. Right now, it's just repeating the same recorded message over and over again, telling me to hold on. So we'll see where it goes. So it just started ringing again, haven't reached a person yet. We're 15 minutes in now.
That's only 15 minutes.
Recorded message. It's 15 minutes into this call now. This is the second call, so I've probably spent almost 20 minutes on the phone now. We started about 35 minutes ago, so at this point, I'm going to hang up and call it a day. If I were signing up for myself, this is where my patience would be exhausted.
Oh, dear. That was MSNBC. If Obama has lost MSNBC, man, he is in some serious trouble. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, by the way, one of four companies offering products to the marketplace, said zero people were able to sign up yesterday. The company spent 3 years and $60 million getting ready for yesterday's opening, and they got zero people signed up. And by the way, HHS will not tell you how many people were able to sign up yesterday. Now they're telling us they won't tell us for a month how many people were able to sign up. They don't want you to know how bad it went. But Obama says, hey, don't worry about it. By the way, shouldn't we have the right to know since it's our government? But Obama wants you to understand. Listen, everything that starts out has glitches. It's just like the iPhone. Cut two, please.
Consider that just a couple of weeks ago, Apple rolled out a new mobile operating system. And within days, they found a glitch, so they fixed it. I don't remember anybody suggesting Apple should stop selling iPhones or iPads.
Okay, that's enough right there. So hold on a second. So wait just a second. So he's comparing it to the new iOS 7. Okay, I have an iPad. My daughter upgraded that for me the other day. Hey, Dad, do you want me to upgrade you to iOS 7? I don't know. Is it going to slow me down? Is it going to be something new to learn? No, I put it on my office. It's fine. You're going to love it. All right, go ahead. 15 minutes later, my deal was redone. I'm loving it. No problem. He's saying, well, they had a glitch a couple days in and had to fix it. Okay, that's the same as this? Okay, now stay with me here for a second. The healthcare exchanges had 2.8 million hits yesterday, and they couldn't get anything done. You know how many hits Apple got when they launched the iOS 7 update in one day? 500 million. They didn't crash. Their stores are still open. People like the product. In fact, here's one big thing for you, President Obama. You're not forced to buy an iPhone. You're not forced to buy an iPad. Their stuff works. People love the product. And here's another thing for you. If we didn't, we don't have to buy it, and the company would go out of business. That doesn't happen to our government, does it? No. Nice try. Hey, let me get Gary in here, WABC. Gary, you're on the Michael Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mr. Knapp. How you doing? I love you.
Doing well.
I am just wanted to let you know, a lot of people probably don't know about this. And I also like to thank you for your grandfather's service to freedom.
Thank you.
I'm from a Gold Star family myself. I'm a vet, and I just got a wonderful little letter from the VA healthcare system Friday. And, of course, I don't have to change over my medical yet, but anybody that has a spouse or a child and they are on the VA health care, they are forced off and they have to go into Obamacare.
I was not aware of that.
Yes,
that's
I have
very interesting.
In front of me.
Gary, thank you. I appreciate that, and thank you for your service to the nation. I mean, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? And see, this is what I'm trying to say. The glitch thing, it's more really just funny. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. Okay, you had 3 years to get ready, and you couldn't get this thing ready. But that's just the time. I don't care if it went off without a hitch yesterday. The problem is all the unintended consequences and the intended consequences of this. We'll get to them. And the World War II vets coming up next. My name is Greg Knapp on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, Michael and the Savage Nation, starting January the 2nd, they are moving to your 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot. Savage Nation, moving to prime time, drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Check your local listings. Going to be big time. Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. You can also go online, michaelsavage.com. You can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE to get on the program as well. Here's some of the things just, you know, starting to percolate through the news cycle. Pressure mounts to fix health insurance exchanges. That's from the AP. In some ways, the delays that persisted Wednesday were good news for President Barack Obama. What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great that nobody can sign up because it means so many people are signing up. You had 3 years to get ready. You can't handle 2.8 million hits on your website? Well, you know, no. Denise Rathman of Des Moines said it was worse today than it was yesterday. Well, she has insurance through December the 31st, but said she's eager to sign up because of her psoriatic arthritis, which has caused her to be denied in the past, but she's got it right now? Well, yeah, but that's, you know. Meanwhile, in Tennessee, the Community Health Alliance, according to the Daily Caller and the Nashville Business Journal, the Community Health Alliance, Tennessee's health insurance co-op that has a federal loan of more than $73 million to try to sign people up for Obamacare, is offering a free cell phone if you sign up. What? Qualified individuals will get an LG Lucid 2 4G smartphone, a phone plan, and tech support. The phone plan includes unlimited talk, unlimited texting, and a 1.2 gigabyte of data per month. This guy, they have a better phone plan than I have, and I pay for mine. I don't even have the nicest phone as they have. Greg, you need a better phone. You really need to buy a smartphone. I know, but I'm cheap. Members will have the phone number for their CHA representative preloaded in their phones. I mean, hey, isn't it worth it? I mean, how else could they call? Don't you have a card? Couldn't they put it in their current cell phone? They don't have a cell phone. You want to bet? Bet you most of them do. And at the same time, we will be able to connect with our members by phone, by email, or by text almost instantly with health tips and reminders. Oh, well, isn't that great? That's going to be perfect. Oh, man. Meanwhile, the World War II veterans. This story blows my mind. And, you know, I'm in Kansas City, and our Kansas City honor flight took off this morning from KCI. And we wanted to know, are they going to make it in? Well, the details, yes, they made it in today. Because the World War II vets, some of them who stormed the beaches of Normandy, were storming our own World War II memorial because our government was trying to lock them out. Now, if you've been to D.C., you understand this is an open-air monument. There are no fences around the mall. The mall is open 24/7. You know, I've been there after midnight, walking around by myself, just enjoying the solitude. There was nobody else on the mall with me. It was an amazing night. I didn't see a policeman. I didn't see a park ranger. I walked right up into the Lincoln Memorial. I walked all the way across the mall. I walked through the World War II Memorial. It was awesome. And yet, we got to shut it down. Yeah, it's a government shutdown. Well, the government's not really shut down. It's more of a slim down, more of a slowdown. Well, whatever it is, we've got to shut down the National Mall. And we've got to shut down all these memorials, and especially the World War II memorial. Why? Because we want to cause as much pain as possible to blame this on the Republic. I mean, because it's for people's safety. Yeah, that's what it is. And for vandalism. Right, that's what we got. But we don't usually have police all over the mall. In fact, I mean, there are some, sure. There's some walking around trying to take care of you. But that's how Lincoln got green paint all over him a few weeks ago, remember? Well, the Obama administration is trying to bring the pain so that people will demand that those evil Republicans cave in. So Representative Stephen Palazzo from the Mississippi, a congressman from Mississippi, had his delegation coming in, the honor flight. Now remember, these are 80-plus year old men, some 90 years old and older, who fought for us in World War II. This might be their last chance while they're still alive to come visit the World War II Memorial. The honor flights raise private funds, anywhere between $60,000 and $100,000, to fly these people in, these veterans in, to be able to see their World War II Memorial. And out of spite, they're shutting it down. What do you mean out of spite? They're not. Okay, here's why I mean out of spite. It costs more money and more manpower to shut down these memorials than leave them open. It costs more money during the government shutdown to close these memorials than keep them open, and yet they're closing them. Seven people working for our government with forklifts put barricades up yesterday at the Lincoln Memorial. Seven. So the World War II vets and these congresspeople said, we're going in. Well, Congressman Palazzo says, we called the National Park Service, we were told, no, nobody can go in. We called the Department of Interior. We called the Capitol Police. We kept being told, no, 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 your people cannot go in. He called the White House, and he was told, no, it's a government shutdown. What do you expect? That's what the liaison for the White House told him. Now, Palazzo's a Gulf War Marine veteran. And he said, you know, at first I thought it was a huge bureaucratic oversight. But then I talked with the officials. I can't help but think it's politically motivated. How low can you get when you're playing politics over our nation's veterans? He's introducing legislation to ensure all honor flights are granted access this week. This is an open-air memorial the public has 24/7 access to under normal circumstances, even when Park Service personnel are not present. It actually requires more effort and expense to shut out these veterans from their memorial than it would simply to let them through. He's right. He's dead on right. Exactly what I was telling you. And so he decided with a couple of other congresspeople, we're going to take down these barricades. We're going to take down the yellow police tape. And they went in. And the same thing happened today with the contingent from my area in Kansas City, from Kansas and Missouri. Well, there were a couple guys from Ohio who called up, their honor flight, and they were told by the National Park Service that they would be arrested. They would face arrest. And I said to him, are you kidding me? You're going to arrest a 91-year-old veteran for seeing his memorial? She said, that's correct, sir. So he asked, what's your name? She wouldn't tell him and hung up. Well, they haven't arrested anybody. Could you imagine if they tried to arrest are World War II veterans for simply going to their memorial, for simply walking through the barrier. They made it through barriers. They fought the Nazis. They fought fascism. They saw their brothers in arms die in front of them, and they're being told they can't go visit that memorial because of some stupid policy by the Obama administration. Look, there's no other way to look at this than he is trying to bring the pain. It's the same thing he did with the White House tours during the sequester. All kinds of money wasted, millions spent on him playing golf and going on flights and vacations and everything else. But you can't pay for the White House tours to stay open. He wants to bring the pain. Well, the RNC has offered to keep the World War II memorial open for 30 days, saying we'll pay for it, challenging the DNC to join in. I love this one from Paul Bedard, though. Listen to this. More personnel were sent to the World War II memorial to keep our vets out than were sent to Benghazi. Wow. That's amazing. Seven officials dispatched Wednesday morning to set up a ring of barricades to block tourists from the memorial, two more than the State Department had in Benghazi on the night of the terrorist attack that killed four Americans. And by the way, some of our national parks or national parks, I believe is the right terminology for this, are being kept open. Some of the little gardens that we have there, they're being kept open. There's no barricades being put up. Why is that? They're not as popular. Since they're not as popular, there's no need to try to bring the pain because nobody would really even notice. Here we go. This is from Doc Hastings, Republican Washington. It appears as though only the highly visible monuments and areas are being closed to the public. The Constitution Gardens, the Upper Senate Park, the Japanese Americans Memorial, all remain open. And by the way, during the last shutdown under Clinton and Gingrich, the one that lasted 21 days, you know what Bill Clinton did not shut down? The National Mall. Isn't that interesting? And there's one more for you. Have you ever heard of the Claude Moore Colonial Farm? It's near the CIA in McLean, Virginia. The federal government does not fund or staff the park. It's very popular with children in schools, a lot of field trips. It's a privately operated park. The only part that is national is it's on Park Service land. So the federal government is the landlord, but they don't run any part of it. They've closed it down. Now you tell me, what could that possibly be other than trying to bring pain? They don't run it. Anna Eberle is the managing director. She sent out an email about it. She said, pointing to Park Service claims the parks have to be closed because the agency can't afford staff during the government closure, what utter crap. This is a quote from her. What utter crap. We have operated the farm successfully for 32 years after the National Park Service cut the farm from its budget in 1980. We're fully staffed and prepared to open today. But there are barricades at the pavilions and entrance to the farm. And if you were to park on the grass and visit on your own, you run the risk of being arrested. Of course, that will cost the NPS staff salaries to police the farm against intruders, while leaving it open would cost them nothing. See, so once again, they're spending more money to close it than it is to keep it open. She went on, in all the years I have worked with the National Park Service, first as a volunteer for 6 years in Richmond, then as an NPS employee for 8 long years, and now as managing director for the last 32 years, I have never worked with a more arrogant, arbitrary, and vindictive group representing the NPS. I deeply apologize that we have to disappoint you today by being closed, but know that we are working while the National Park Service is not, as usual. We need her to tell us how she really feels. This is what they're doing. This is the Obama MO. He doesn't care about you. He wants you to feel the pain because this is how a community organizer works. This is what you get when you elect a community organizer. Love your thoughts on it. I want your phone calls. We're going to hit that in just a second. I just wanted to set that up for you. He wants to make it hurt. Also, some very interesting information about the uninsured from Gallup. Hang in there. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Going to talk to you in just a second. Did you see the latest Gallup poll? 25% of the people who are currently uninsured say they plan to stay that way. They'd rather pay the fine. And in the very important 18 to 29 age bracket, remember, you got to get the young people to sign up to pay for this thing. 69% said they were unaware they were actually required to get health insurance by January 1. 62% said they were not too familiar or not at all familiar with the Obamacare exchanges. And among the uninsured, 72% said they're not familiar with the exchanges that Obama's setting up at all. Other than that, looks great. Hey, let me talk to Laura. Laura, you are on the Michael Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Thank you for thoughts that I wanted to express tonight. Number one, we should all realize that Obama and Reid and Pelosi have no intention of negotiating anything. With these people, it's a blank check or nothing. And this goes even beyond health care. Let's just remember over the summer, Obama had a helicopter fly only his dog alone to Martha's Vineyard for his vacation. And number two, I think we should all appreciate, now more than ever, the gifted intelligence of the founding fathers to set up the government the way they did and write the Constitution the way they did, so that when we find ourselves in a situation like this, we actually might have a way to get out from under a dictator like this.
Laura, great call, thanks, because it really is Obama saying my way or the highway. Yet he's trying to claim the Republicans won't negotiate. They have offered plan after plan after plan, and the last one, all it said was, that employer mandate that you're waiving for a year, you know, breaking your own law for your employer cronies, all we're asking is that you do the same thing for individuals. And they said no. So, yeah, what do you do when you have something like that? The only power that they have left is the power of the purse, and they're using it, and they should. That's why look, why are they there? They're there because the Tea Party put them in after Obamacare. And they swore, they promised, you send me to Washington, D.C., I'll do everything I can to stop Obamacare. And so they're doing it. They're doing what their constituents asked them to do. That is precisely why they're there. And yet they're being ridiculed in the media for doing what they promised they would do when they ran for office. I mean, really, what's the other alternative? Just roll over and give Obama everything he wants. You know, Obama supposedly was kidding around when he said, it sure would be easier if I was the president of China. I don't think he's kidding. I think he would much rather have it be like China, where he gets to do whatever he wants to do, no matter what. I mean, that's how they got this bill in the first place. Remember, they just rammed it through your throat, down your throat. Not a single Republican signed on in the House or the Senate, because they didn't even allow them to put amendments in. They just rammed it down your throat. And now they're surprised, shocked, that you don't like it very much yet. But, hey, you're gonna love it eventually. You're going to love it. Hey, let's hear cut 19 from Harry Reid. Cut 19, because Harry Reid said, don't worry, you're going to love Obamacare.
They are obsessed with this Obamacare thing. It's working now, and it'll continue to work, and people will love it even more than they do now by far.
It's working now, and people will love it even more than they do right now. A majority of America, in poll after poll, says they don't want it, they don't like it, and that they want it repealed. So how precisely is it that they love it now, and it's working now? Have you been reading the news at all, Harry? Harry! Come on, Harry! I know you're getting up there in age, but you got to keep up, buddy. Are you kidding me? Hey, let me get Frank on WABC. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Yes, Greg. Thank you very much for taking my phone call. You know, there is a Fifth Constitutional Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that states anything you say can be held against you in a court of law. I got to tell you this. I've been listening and watching every single decision that President Obama has been conducting for his last 5 years as President of the United States, and I wake up every Saturday morning to listen to his weekly address, and I've noticed that he very discreetly, very carefully, as a fashion-seasoned Democrat, knows how to slowly get the attention and gain better control of his constituency and convince people of his flip-flop Democratic liberal theories of...
Gotcha. Well, listen, I'm going to comment on what you said in just a second. We're up hard against the clock. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com online. A lot of good stories up there. And don't forget, starting January the 2nd, Michael Savage on your radio, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Big move for Michael and the Savage Nation. Don't forget to tune in January the 2nd for that one. Okay, I'm talking about the government shutdown because obviously this is the big story right now and the whole thing with Obamacare and everything else. And I've got some stories, some good and bad stories about what is shut down and what is not shut down from this whole fiasco that I'm going to get you to in just a minute, okay? First, though, I think Tony has a very interesting point. Tony from WKIM in Memphis. Tony, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Oh, Greg, I got 2 points. One, you're talking about the website. If they can't run a website, how in the hell are they going to run the dang country? Second is,
good point.
Obama come in today talking about going into the Senate, saying the exact same things that the Iranian president told us that they wouldn't talk to us unless they dropped the sanctions. And he's going in there telling them that he's not going to talk to them unless they pass a budget and open up the closure. And
That's a good point. Tony, thanks. I appreciate that. Good points, very interesting points, nice ways to look at it. And I love it when the callers are coming up with this stuff that makes a good point. You can't run a website. How are you going to run this thing? You know, Obamacare comes in 150 languages. Apple's keyboard comes in 33 language settings. Guess which one works? Great comment there, too. I mean, you just got to look at this from all the different angles. But, hey, here's some good news. Good news for you, okay? The government shutdown is making Michelle Obama's Twitter feed send out only limited updates. Oh, I need my Michelle Obama Twitter feed. How am I going to know how much water to drink? I mean, Michelle is telling us we have to drink water. I need my daily update on how much water to drink. And how am I going to know what to feed my kids at school if I don't have Michelle Obama tweeting me? The problem is that if it's actually a government Twitter account, shouldn't the whole thing be shut down, not just limited? Meanwhile, here is some good news, truly. Because the Gettysburg National Military Park has been shut down, the KKK rally scheduled for Saturday is not going to take place. Hey, there's one good thing. I got one good thing out of it. Awesome. The bad thing, though, Saturday's Air Force Navy game might not be played. Now, wait a second. You start messing with football, we got a problem here. And as you go through it, you learn something. Guess what I found out today about that? Because when I first read that, I'm like, wait a second. Hold on a second. Those football games make money, and I don't think the government pays for it anyway. I was right. Here we go. The Naval Academy Athletic Association is a private organization. It is not funded by the government. The Naval Academy Athletic Director is Chet Gladchuk. He said, the Air Force-Navy game could be held without any appropriated funding. That's code for, you know, what the House has to do. There's appropriated funding, and then there's so-called mandatory funding. Well, you don't need any appropriated funding to play the game. Says Air Force also has a similar athletic association that operates using private funds, donations, and revenue from the games. Gladchuk, we could run our entire athletics program and conduct events as we always do without any government funds. Do you hear that? Once again, they're trying to find ways to bring pain from shutting down the World War II Memorial to saying the Air Force Army game won't go through, to shutting down a national park that doesn't even have any federal money going to it. They're trying to bring the pain. Said, in talking to the Air Force Athletic Director, their football team could execute the trip without government funding too. So why is this happening, he was asked. His answer? I was told it was about optics. It's a perception thing. Apparently it doesn't resonate with all the other government agencies that have been shut down. No. That's not the optics thing, and he knows what it really is, but he still is working for the Naval Academy and can't say the truth that Obama wants to bring the pain. That's what it's really about. And that's all you need to know when you have a community organizer
running the country. That's it. Let me get Greg in from WABC. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Greg, hi. Greg here.
Hey, how you doing?
Bringing the pain. I'm in the two-way radio business. So, of course, I have to deal with the Federal Communications Commission on a somewhat frequent basis. There's a database that is completely automated. No human intervention is required for me to do any research that I need for my customers. That database, when I went to go log in today, was shut down. Clearly, they're not saving any money by turning off the power. There's a computer telling me that you can't get to this database because of the government shutdown. I'm saying a human intervention wasn't involved last month. This month, I can't get into this system. How does that make any sense at all?
It doesn't, and you've hit on it again, Greg. Thanks for the call. It's about bringing the pain. That's all this is about. I told you about Harry Reid saying that, you know, these little children with cancer aren't getting their trials, and the Republicans said, oh, okay, let's fund the NIH and make sure they get it. No. Why? Because he wants the Republicans to be blamed for the children with cancer not being able to participate in their trials, even though they're trying to fund that. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? We get Daniel in from KTBL, New Mexico. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in from Michael. Go right ahead. Hey, Daniel.
Just wanted to put something out there. Maybe some people have heard of this. Maybe some people haven't heard of it. But speaking of the government stepping in and taking over things that maybe it's on their property, but isn't run by them. I actually ran into a gentleman today that I talked to that one of his buddies is actually a ranger at the Grand Canyon, which is a national park.
Right.
Lives on the property, owns a house that he paid for or that is paying for that's on the property, was asked to leave his house because it's on government property. It's on the national park. So a house that the government didn't pay for, he paid for. He's paying for it right now. He's asked to leave.
And costs no government money to run whatsoever. He's told he's got to leave. That's amazing, Daniel. Thanks for the call. That's just amazing. I think it was Jay Leno that said, how do you close the Grand Canyon, by the way? You throw a big tarp over the hole and say, don't look at it? I mean, this is how crazy it's gotten. It really is. Oh, I got to get you this. This is precious. Best of the web, James Taranto over on the Wall Street Journal found this one trolling through the news today. It says, you know, first of all, whether Obamacare, quote, works or not is determined not by how many people sign up, but what kind of people and whether they actually get the coverage that everybody says they're going to get. And, of course, whether it jacks up premiums for everybody else, all kinds of things. And we haven't even gotten into all that today. But people are very excited that at least some people are signing up. Tara McGinnis is a senior Obamacare publicity agent, and she had this tweet. One man's experience as Health Exchange begins enrollment. Quote, it made my day. There was another tweet from at Obamacare, retweeted by Organizing for America, that talks about how great this was. This guy loved it. Okay, now here's the guy. Now remember, this is the guy that the Obama people are holding up as the great example of the success of Obamacare yesterday. Meet Brandon Mahoney, the young man who is saving Obamacare. He's 30 years old, a third-year law student at the University of Connecticut. He's actually been insured for the past 3 years through a $2,400 a year school-sponsored health plan. But this year, okay, so wait a second, 24, that means 200 a month, okay. But this year, he thought that he would go for the high-deductible, low-premium plan that cost him about $39 a month. Okay, so right now he's got health insurance for $39 a month. And he's signing up for Obamacare? Well, he wanted to see what Obamacare had to offer. He tried logging in. And it didn't work. He couldn't verify his identity. So he called the toll-free helpline. And the worker encountered computer trouble. But then he logged on again. And the system worked. Quote, once it got running, it was fast. Once it got running, it was fast. That's a little bit of an oxymoron. It really made my day. It's a lot like TurboTax. He obtained his insurance through Obamacare. Now he says, if I get sick, I'll definitely go to the doctor. Wait, you already had insurance before? Yeah, but this one's better because I don't have to pay as much in a copay.
Okay, well, now we find out what's his premium now, because he was only paying $39 a month before. Well, here comes the problem. Mahoney said by filling out the application online, he discovered he was eligible for Medicaid. So he's going to be a Medicaid participant and not pay any premium at all. So this is the guy held up as the Obamacare example. He's not even in Obamacare. He's in Medicaid, and you're paying for him when a day ago he was paying for his own insurance $39 a month. That's the success story. Even their success stories suck. I mean, that's really bad. Let me get John in from WABC. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
It occurs to me that this isn't about health care. This is about paying middlemen. Middlemen are everything from these exchanges to our congressmen, the senators, these co-ops. What is a Rube Goldberg contraption we have here? What's necessary for medical care are just two entities, a doctor who knows how to provide care and a patient who needs care. Get rid of all the crap, excuse my language, in between.
No, John, I think you're nailing it, because remember now, in order to get this through and in order to get the insurance companies on board, he had to give them all kind of sweeteners, right? I mean, this was the way to get all these big guys on board, was to say, hey, I'm going to make so many people buy health insurance. You guys are going to end up making more money. Don't worry about it. That's the only way you could get them in. You're right. It's all about payoffs and this and that and the other to get it through. And you're absolutely right. It should be between the doctor and the patient. You know the best way to get that to happen? Thanks for the call, John. The best way to get that to happen is the plan of the free market. And we've talked about it many times. I'll talk about it again. This is what the Republican caucus has put forward, the idea of, hey, you get to pick your own insurance plan, and you can get something like a high deductible, low premium plan, where you have a big-time health savings account, where you can put as much money as you want to into that tax-free as long as you only use it for your health care. And you get to keep it year after year after year. You don't use it or lose it in 1 year. So in all the years that you're healthy, you're building this up to the years that you need it, right? You've got an insurance plan in case something catastrophic happens. But let's say you just get a cold. Well, you go to the doctor, and you pay out of pocket cash, and it's just between you and your doctor. You don't need to involve the insurance company. How much easier is that for the doctor? Even if, let's say, you break your ankle. You go in and you pay it out of pocket. And if you hit your deductible, they help you out a little bit. But you're paying such a low premium, and you're healthy most of the time, and you're saving up all this money. You got the tax deduction from the government, just like your employer does. High-risk pools for people who have pre-existing conditions. You can buy whatever plan you want across state lines, so you don't have to buy what the state is mandating you to do. Maybe you don't want marital therapy included. Maybe you don't want a trip to the chiropractor included. Maybe you don't want massage therapy included. Maybe you want to save money. You can do that. Get it between your doctor and you, and not some iPad board that tells you what is the allowed treatment for your ailment, regardless of what your doctor says. There are ways to do this. Do you understand, before the Obamacare thing was put forward, 85% of America said, I like my health care the way it is. So we're totally turning the entire system on its head, making the vast majority of the people's premiums go up, making who knows how many people, millions, lose the insurance and the doctor they like right now, having doctors retire early, having the cost of health care go up faster than they went before Obamacare, all supposedly to help 15% of the people, when 25% of the people who are uninsured say they're still planning not on signing up. Which, by the way, has led to 90% of the new jobs in America being temporary jobs, because the businesses are petrified on how this Obamacare is going to hurt them. Other than that, it's perfect. Great plan. Hey, I got an update for you on what the NSA is doing. NSA admitted today in a Senate hearing that they lied to you. Again. Let me tell you about that in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. Did you see what the NSA chief admitted today? NSA Chief General Keith Alexander said the Obama administration issued misleading figures about the terrorist plots allegedly foiled by the NSA tracking your metadata. What?
Remember when they told you we got over 50 terror plots that we have thwarted because of this metadata tracking that we're doing of your phone calls and your emails? I mean, we're saving your lives here. I can't believe you guys are worried about this. No, not true. Washington Times today. Senator Patrick Leahy said to General Alexander, there is no evidence that the metadata phone records collection helped to thwart dozens or even several terrorist plots. Is there? He said, the 54 cases that the administration officials have cited as the fruit of the NSA's controversial domestic snooping, these weren't all plots. They weren't all foiled. In fact, he said, will you admit that only 13 of the 54 cases had any connection at all to the United States? Would you agree with that, yes or no? The answer?
Yes.
In other words, they lied to you again. They lied again. I mean, I knew it. You knew it. Because all you had to do was look at what they were saying on these plots.
Well, we can reveal to you that these plots were solved because of this.
And then you looked at the plots they were talking about, and you could tell that they were solved with just good old regular police work. That they'd actually been given tips by people. It didn't make sense. I mean, you look at the Boston Marathon bombing, and you're saying, wait a second, if this NSA metadata was working so well, then how in the world did it get to the point for the Boston Marathon bombing that they couldn't track these guys, the Shania brothers? Especially when the Russians pointed them out to them. And still they didn't. They had to put their pictures up on the TV and say, have you seen these men? I mean, it was almost as bad as putting their pictures on a milk carton. They lied to you again. In response to a follow-up question, Mr. Alexander acknowledged that only one or two of the cases cited by Obama senior officials had actually been foiled by the NSA's tracking of the metadata. One or two. I don't even know if I believe that. Leahy said the details of the 54 cases given from the NSA to the Senate were unconvincing. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't even believe it. And he's a Democrat. But James Clapper, you remember him? Clap on, clap off. Remember him, James Clapper? He's the director of National Intelligence. And he said the number of plots foiled should not be the only metric by which we measure the success of this program. Well, the program's there to try and stop terror plots, right? Yeah. But that's not how we should measure whether it worked or not? Right. Well, what would you measure? I think there's another metric here. I would call it the peace of mind metric. Peace of mind for whom? Not peace of mind for people who have their metadata collected. So, well, see, we can use this database to satisfy ourselves that global terrorists abroad do not have connections or associates in the United States. Yeah, doesn't that make you feel better? Are we doing that? I mean, has that really stopped anything or helped anything? And then you've got the AP reporting on the New York Times story that the NSA is collecting information about you off your social networks. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Foursquare, you know, Ugga Ugga. Okay, you just made that one up.
I know, but it sounds like a good one. Start Ugga Ugga.
NSA Director General Keith Alexander said, not all the social network searches are authorized by the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Corps, but our actions are proper and they're audited internally.
Oh, see, you can trust us. No, we didn't go ahead and get, like, you know, the FISA court to look at it.
I mean, you know, we're busy. We don't have time to do all that kind of stuff. But hey, you can trust us. And that New York Times report, it's inaccurate and wrong, saying that we have dossiers on people. We haven't started any dossiers on people. You can't trust the New York Times. No, you're right, I don't trust the New York Times, but I certainly don't trust you guys. Well, actually, the New York Times report didn't say they had dossiers. It said the NSA was exploiting enormous collections of personal data to create graphs on you. Who do you think's telling you the truth? My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Big news for Michael, as you know, starting January the 2nd, primetime drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, The Savage Nation. Check your local listings. Make sure you don't miss a second of The Savage debut from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, January the 2nd. 855-400-SAVAGE to get you in and michaelsavage.com online. I got a lot to get through this hour. I want to start with something straight off the michaelsavage.com website. You know, it's always been interesting to me how America does all this navel-gazing about how, well, maybe we're just not as tolerant as we think. You know, there are people who are upset that some of the Muslims wanted to build a mosque right there at Ground Zero in New York City. I mean, well, it was a couple blocks away. Well, parts of the plane had hit this area. I mean, that's how close it was, and they wanted to build this huge mosque. And there's some people that didn't think that was an appropriate place to do it. And we're so intolerant over here. It's just like, you can build a mosque anywhere else except here. That's all we're asking. Oh, you're intolerant. It's awful. Well, off of the MichaelSavage.com website, a link to Gateway Pundit, where we have a prominent Saudi Arabian mufti calling for the destruction of all Christian churches on the Arabian Peninsula. All of them. Destroy all of them. Already in Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed to build a church. You're not allowed to bring in a cross. You're not allowed to bring in a Bible. And we're the intolerant ones. The Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, Abdulaziz bin Abdullah, has again called for the destruction of all churches on the Arabian Peninsula. He is the head of the Ulema Council, the Standing Committee on Fatwas. He did a presentation by the Kuwaiti parliamentarian Osama al-Munawwar. The Mufti stated, according to Islamic law, all churches in the region must be demolished. Islam is the only religion here. The words of Muhammad that, quote, there cannot be two religions on the Arabian Peninsula, end quote, the head of the Sunni always interprets in favor of Islam. You know, in the UAE, local Christians were hoping that the opening of negotiations concerning the construction of the first church in Saudi Arabia would begin because of the consecration of a Catholic church there in the UAE. Nope. Now, right now, there's 3 to 4 million immigrant Christians working in Saudi Arabia. They can't have a church. Not allowed to bring in a Bible. Not allowed to bring in a cross. Now, we're told we're the intolerant ones. We're the ones, how dare we? You know what? I got to say, I think we should be patting ourselves on the back like nobody's business for how tolerant we've been after 9/11. I mean, really, when you think about what happened in 9/11 and you think of all the terrorist attacks that have been plotted and attempted against this country from from the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, you've got the Times Square bomber, you've got Fort Hood and Adal Hassan, you've got the Boston Marathon bombers, and on and on we go. You would think with all of that, there'd be more people attacking Muslims in America. Now, I'm glad they're not. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is it's a testament to how nonviolent this country is, to how tolerant we are, that we continue to say, hey, listen, we're not lumping everybody into that category just because you're Muslim. We're trying to discriminate the good from the bad Muslim. We're trying to do that. We know not all Muslims are trying to wage jihad on us. No, we don't know exactly how many. And unfortunately, out of a billion people, even a small percentage is a lot. But we're trying to be very tolerant. There are still more hate crimes, as the government defines them, against Jewish people in this country than there are against Muslim people in this country. Even after 9/11. That should tell you an awful lot, shouldn't it? Yet somehow we're the bad guys. Over in the Middle East, they are blowing up people standing in line outside of churches. Look what they did in Pakistan. They are going through the malls in Kenya asking people, what was the name of the Prophet Muhammad's mother? And if you know the answer, you don't get killed. If you don't know the answer, you get shot.
Was it Mrs. Muhammad?
No, it wasn't Mrs. Muhammad. Wait, this is Muhammad's mom. So we're the intolerant ones. They are blowing up innocent women, children, and men simply because they pray to a different God, and we're the intolerant ones. Aren't you getting a little tired of it? Hey, let me get Steve on out of WMAL. He's actually in D.C. right now in front of the Vietnam Memorial. And, of course, you know our memorials are closed. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, doing well.
I was doing my thing this evening, and I was listening to the show. And I was at one end of Maryland, so I said, I'll cut through the city and take a chance. And, I'm sitting here right in front of the Vietnam Memorial. And just like this government half-hearted does most of the things they try to do, they basically put up those barricades that are the ones they use for the parades, and they put yellow tape around, and they say, no, this site is closed. Of course, people are jogging by and stopping, but they can't go into the center of this beautiful memorial they built. So I rode around, you know, the Washington Monument is closed right now because they're fixing it from the earthquake.
Right.
The Martin Luther one, they've got closed. They've closed off the important ones, just like you said. The more open ones, the people have access to, you can run along the side of the mall. So it's just, it's interesting.
And what's amazing for that, Steve, is you know living there, that normally that stuff's wide open, and at night there's no park police or park rangers there anyway. So they had to spend more money and more time and more manpower to close something than they would if they just left it alone.
Absolutely. When I was a younger man, I used to run on the mall at night between 12 and 1 in the morning when I got off work. So, yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. And so I was holding, I just rode around. They have Ohio Drive closed, which is the long drive towards Jefferson Memorial, where a lot of people come to the city park for free.
Right.
And
yeah, that's a beautiful area through there. Yeah, and all, I was saying the same thing, Steve. When I was there, I was working on this documentary against government waste, and so I was doing a lot of stuff at night out there, especially to get some good B-roll and other kind of stuff, and there was nobody there, and it was beautiful, and it was wide open, and we're spending more to close something than we are to keep it open, and it tells you all you need to know. It's the community agitator-in-chief who knows what you got to do is make people feel pain and then have them blame your enemy. So they make the Republicans the enemy. They freeze their enemy. They make that the target. They blame everything on them. They call them every name in the book. They dehumanize them. And they get the American people to try to believe the same way they are. That's why they're calling them terrorists and anarchists. And now the latest one, this one out of Fox News, that we've got Democrats now saying that the Republicans are waging a jihad. You know what? I think they owe all Muslims an apology, right? I mean, isn't that, aren't we told that we can't use that type of language? Isn't that, you know, we got to, no, but they can't, see. It's straight out of the Rules for Radicals playbook. This is what these guys do. And it's what you expect when you elect, you know, a community agitator. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure this out. So we close things and spend more money closing them than it costs to keep them open. And we claim that we're doing it because, well, we have to. And it's all those evil Republicans' fault. Those anarchists, those arsonists, those terrorists, those people waging jihad. They're the ones that you need to hate. But, you know, let me let you hear, you may have missed this today. Can we hear Cut 21 from Obama? Cut 21 from Obama tells you he's a nice guy.
During the course of my presidency, I have bent over backwards to work with the Republican Party and have purposely kept my rhetoric down.
Who are you going to believe? Me or your own eyes? Oh, right. We've kind of seen what this guy's been like for the last 5 years. Hey, coming up in just a second, I want to get you something that might interest you if you fly. The FAA making a very interesting ruling. We're going to hit that in just a second. Take your phone calls as well. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com online. If you fly, you're going to like this. Last week, sources telling the Associated Press, the FAA Advisory Committee has voted to allow you to use your smartphone, your tablet, your e-reader, whatever kind of cool gadget you have, even during takeoff and landing. Now, we all knew that there was no reason not to let us do this, but...
Well, that may be interfering with the plane, and we're asking you not to do... Turn it off, yeah, whatever.
But we all knew it was complete nonsense. Well, now a senior Amazon executive on the advisory panel is telling the Wall Street Journal that they're going to allow you to do gate-to-gate use of these devices. You're not going to have to turn them off ever during the entire flight. Doesn't matter what app it's using. Doesn't matter what kind of wireless transmission mode it's in. You can use them all. Now, it also says that they recommended a simple system for the airlines to prove that the devices and the Wi-Fi aren't going to hurt the plane. See, one of the big problems was the rules were you have to test every device and every iteration of every device before you can say it doesn't hurt the plane. And the problem is, of course, that virtually every day there's a new iteration of the device, and virtually every day there's a new product out there. So it's virtually impossible because you had to test them up in the air with no passengers. Well, how in the world are you ever going to do that? So they came up with a new way of testing this and looking at past tests instead of requiring a bunch of new ones. And if all this is approved, you will be able to do gate-to-gate with all your gadgets and use onboard Wi-Fi to access the Internet, but not your own personal Wi-Fi through the cell phone connection because, well, the FCC bans airborne cell service. Other than that, you'll be okay. But really, you probably won't get the Wi-Fi until you're at 10,000 feet or above. It's pretty cool, though, isn't it? It's a pretty nice move on that. Meanwhile, while all this Obamacare talk and shutdown talk is going on, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are putting forward their illegal alien amnesty bill. Well, they said the Gang of Eight bill didn't work. The Senate's passed it, but Speaker Boehner won't pick it up, so we're going to put our own one forward. It's basically the Gang of Eight bill, but we made a couple different changes, and what we've done is we've taken things that both chambers have agreed to in the past, and we've mashed them all together, and so we've got something that they've got to say yes to. They unveiled legislation today to create a pathway to citizenship for millions of illegal residents. Well, but isn't that what they've already done in the Senate that we said isn't going to happen? Well, no, we've added new stuff to it. Yeah, what we've done is, instead of what the Senate did for security, what we're doing is we're calling on the Obama administration to come up with a border security plan that would ensure the apprehension of 90% of attempted illegal alien crossings within 5 years. We're not going to tell them how to do it, but they've got to get it done. Okay, well, here's the problem. First of all, you don't even know how many people are coming across the border, so how are you going to do 90%? 90% was already in the Senate bill, and that was the problem with it. By the way, the bill in the Senate says that, you know, the Department of Homeland Security may use this money to do border security, but it may not. It may be up to them. And by the way, it's not so much about whether these people will become citizens in a certain period of time. It's about actually making sure the border is secure before you give them amnesty. But the Senate plan, and the reason it's falling apart, is it gives instant legalization, not after they prove that they've actually secured the border, instant legalization to the illegal aliens. And then later we'll worry about them becoming a citizen, but we have a path to citizenship. That doesn't matter. The problem is the instant citizenship. Because once you're here, instant legalization, once you're allowed to live here, work here, and own property here and everything else, is being a citizen really that big a deal? I mean, really? No. That would be a big no. I don't know where they think they're going with that one, but no.
Let me get Loretta in Florida in on this. Loretta, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in from Michael. I know you want to talk about the shutdown. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, Loretta.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just calling about your previous conversation. I wanted to say that the behavior I see in Obama closing these monuments and stuff is typical temper tantrum behavior. It's the kid who doesn't get his way, so he takes his baseball and goes home.
And, of course, Loretta, thanks for the call. That's exactly what he's claiming about the Republicans. But it is interesting because the Republicans are the ones that keep offering new plans and new plans and new plans. And the one plan that I thought was perfect was he said, hey, listen, you're changing the mandate on employers. That's part of your law. You've changed the law. You've gone around Congress to do it. All we're trying to do is say do the same thing for individuals. And he said no to that. Joe, WHAM, Rochester, New York, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Well, Obama, he gave a reason as to the glitch, and it was parallel to Yahoo has glitches.
Apple, yes.
Apple. Well, if one was to do an inductive reasoning of Obama's syllogisms and logic, one would come to the conclusion that he is using the logic that would be used by an idiot.
I tend to agree. Joe, thanks for the call. Let's play that for everybody to remember. This is cut two from Obama on the so-called glitches of Obamacare.
Consider that just a couple of weeks ago, Apple rolled out a new mobile operating system. And within days, they found a glitch, so they fixed it. I don't remember anybody suggesting Apple should stop selling iPhones or iPads.
Yeah, or I'll stop right there. So here's the thing. He's comparing it to Apple. Well, the iOS 7 went off really well. They had over a half billion hits on their website. It didn't shut down. You're not forced to buy an Apple. Apple could go out of business if they really stink up the joint. By the way, Apple stores are open. Other than that, you're right. It's a great analogy, Mr. President. Wow. You're right. This guy's basically an idiot. Well, he's a community organizer in chief. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in from Michael Savage. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget, Michael is taking the show to prime drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, starting January the 2nd. Do not miss a second of it. That's January 2nd, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, and you can go to michaelsavage.com, too, for more information and for great stories that they put up every day that you need to read. Harry Reid came to the Senate floor, and he was very passionate. He wanted to save the little children. Little children suffering from cancer, and those evil Republicans want them to die. They don't want them to have the cancer trials from the National Institutes of Health. So the Republicans came forward and said, yeah, you're right. Let's make sure we fund that. Let's go ahead and fund that right now today. To which Harry Reid said, no. As they're trying to say, let's fund everything that we agree on, because after all, if we agree on stuff, shouldn't we do it? And we certainly don't want to hurt these kids with cancers. Let's go ahead and approve this part of the budget. And Harry Reid says, no. So Dana Bash from CNN, I couldn't believe it. CNN. She goes to Harry Reid and she says to him, wait a second. You said you wanted these kids to have their cancer treatments or trials, and the Republicans say they're willing to fund that, so why would you say no to that? Cut 18, please.
Listen, Senator Durbin explained that very well, and he did it here, he did it on the floor earlier, as did Senator Schumer, and it's this. What right do they have to pick and choose what part of government's going to be funded? It's obvious what's going on here. You talk about reckless and irresponsible. Wow.
Reckless and irresponsible to try to fund the cancer trials for the children that you claimed weren't going to happen because of the shutdown that you created. But all right, do they have to pick and choose what they fund? Well, you guys did on Tuesday. You decided to fully fund the active military. You were already picking and choosing. You've already chosen not to fully fund the fence in Mexico. There's all kinds of things you've chosen, not to fully fund. But let's skip to cut 20, where Dana Bash followed up with the liberal question that they always throw out, and Harry Reid had it thrown right back in his face. Here we go.
But if you can help one child who has cancer, why wouldn't you do it?
Listen. Head Start,
Mom. Why one against the other?
Why would we want to do that?
Wow. If you could save just one child, why wouldn't you do that? His answer, why would we want to do that? They want to bring the pain. That's it. Same reason they are trying to shut down all the World War memorials. Mike, KWQW in Iowa. You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. In for Michael, go right ahead.
Wow, Mr. Knapp, thank you very much for taking my call. It's an honor. You know what?
Thank you.
To Louis Gohmert earlier today, a representative from Texas, and he very eloquently described how it is at the World War II Memorial at this moment. You have seven security people there, two more than Benghazi had, I'd like to add.
Yep.
But typically, you have maybe one that you may see all day long, maybe two on a good day. But make a long story short, they're paying security that typically isn't there to be there to turn people away. And also, the Vietnam Vets Memorial, it's on a sidewalk, for Pete's sake, a public sidewalk. There are no kiosks. There are no nothing. But yet they're restricting people from going to that as well, which is ludicrous. They're actually employing people to go ahead and block this stuff.
Right. It costs more money to shut it down than it does to leave it open. Only our federal government could expand government during a shutdown. There's no other way to put it, Mike. You're dead on right. He's doing it on purpose, and I think Obama's overplaying his hand. Just like he overplayed his hand with shutting down the White House tours during the sequester, he's doing it again by shutting down the memorials on the Mall during the so-called shutdown because there's no need to do it. By the way, when Bill Clinton was president during the last shutdown that lasted 21 days, even Bill Clinton didn't shut down the memorials. I'm telling you, this is what you get with a community organizer in chief, and he's overplaying his hand. Let me get Jennifer in, KTBB in Texas. Jennifer, you're up.
My comment is, I think the shutdown was, I think the Obama administration, they had their little planning committee, because, you know, the Democrats have been talking shutdown weeks and weeks and weeks. And there is no way they could have done all this stuff from midnight, what was it, Monday night, till Tuesday morning when all this stuff started happening.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Jennifer, is they had this planned. They wanted it. They expected it. And they had planned out how are we going to create the most pain and the most blame on the Republicans. You're right. Thanks for the call. That is what they've done. Listen, there's a lot of discretion in what the executive branch can choose to fund and not fund during a so-called shutdown. And he is choosing to do what he can to make it as painful as possible. There's really no other way to look at it. They wanted this. They believed it would be blamed on the Republicans. They know they got the media in their back pocket. Media Research Center said that if you look at NBC, ABC, CBS, and all the stories they've done, 21 times they blamed it on Republicans, the shutdown. 0 times did they blame it solely on the Democrats. Only 4 times did they say it's both of their fault. What do you think? It's absolutely, that is the reason. That is what's going on here. Let me get Glenn in Alabama on this. Glenn, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
I just like to comment. I heard something today that Mike Lee from Utah was thinking about caving in on this shutdown thing. I mean, these people from the state that these guys come from, I mean, they need to be calling their senators and telling them to stand strong on this. If they cave in on this, they've got this thing started. If they cave in on this, it's going to be the same thing from here on out, the debt limit.
Yeah. Stuff. I mean, Mike, here's the thing, though. I think some people are misinterpreting what Mike Lee said if we're talking about what he said yesterday. And what he said yesterday was, hey, let's leave Obamacare to the side for now and let's just fund everything. What he's talking about is the fund every other part of the government except the Obamacare thing since we can agree on everything else. He said, look, we already did that on the military pay. Why not do it on everything else? Now, if he said something different since then, I haven't seen it. Is there anything new then?
Because that's not caving in on the shutdown. So we'll see. We'll keep you up to date on that. I haven't seen that. And I'll do a little Google search here to make sure I haven't missed something because, you know, sometimes you can miss things. Let me get Alex from Memphis on, WKIM. Alex, go right ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. You're doing a great show, and I wanted to thank you for having me on the air. I think that we are really miscalculating Obama. When he first came into office, he put a bunch of Islamic people at the top of every office in the White House and in Washington, D.C.
That's not true. He didn't put Muslim people in charge of everything. I think we're going way off track if we go down that line. But thanks for the call. He didn't put Muslim people in charge of everything. There are a whole bunch of people that have nothing to do with Islam who are in his cabinet. It's just a red herring. Look at what he's really done to me. You look at what he's really done. He wants to fundamentally transform the nation. He told you he wanted to, and he's doing it. He said before he wanted a single-payer health care system when he was running for office. Now he says, no, I've never been a proponent of that. That's not true, Greg. Oh, really? Cut three. Let's hear cut three. This is in the Wayback Machine. Candidate Obama, cut three.
I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan.
Yeah, and then Barney Frank, former congressman right behind him, cut four, talked about how we'd get to single-payer.
I think if we get a good public option, it could lead to single-payer, and that's the best way to reach single-payer.
Yeah. See, this is what he wanted. He wants America, at the least, to be a socialized democracy like Europe. He wants to fundamentally transform it. Look, he doesn't want us to be the world's lone superpower. He's working pretty hard at that. Look at what he's been doing with the so-called Arab Spring and leading from behind and Libya and Syria and Egypt and Iran, what he's been doing with Israel and showing them the cold shoulder. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't want America to be the lone superpower. Look at what he's doing with our energy. What he's doing with his EPA to go after coal. He couldn't get the carbon tax through Congress, but he told you as a candidate that if you wanted to open a coal-fired power plant in America, you still could, but you would necessarily go bankrupt because it would cost too much to try to deal with the carbon. He told you all this. If people would have listened, he told them, but they didn't want to hear what he said before he actually, you know, was really serious about running. They wanted to believe that he was going to bring, what, free Obamacare phones, gas in their tank, not have to worry about paying for your mortgage, lower the levels of the oceans. Remember all that nonsense? If you read his books, you knew this was a guy, in his own books, who said that he sought out Marxists to hang out with in college. His mentor, Frank Marshall in Hawaii, literally a card-carrying communist. None of that, everything I've just said is a fact. No opinion in that whatsoever. And yet we elected him twice. Well, you know, I guess we get what we deserve, don't we? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in from Michael Savage. You can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE. There's something very interesting being outlawed in California. Have you heard of revenge porn? And if you think that that could have absolutely nothing to do with you, you might be surprised, and it might even impact your daughter. We're going to get to it in just a moment. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm from Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, michaelsavage.com online, 855-400-SAVAGE. And starting January the 2nd, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, do not miss a second when he moves to primetime drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, January the 2nd. Big stuff for Michael on the Savage Nation. There's a really crazy story coming out of California. It says revenge porn has now been outlawed. What is revenge porn? Well, if you haven't been following this story, revenge porn is when a couple in a relationship decide voluntarily that they want to take pictures of themselves naked or maybe even videotape themselves having sex. I don't get it either. I understand. I don't think I really want to see myself having sex. But evidently, for some people, it's a big thrill. It's a turn on. Whatever. Okay, so it's voluntarily done, and it's mutually agreed upon, supposedly, at the time. They're in a relationship. Well, things go south, and all of a sudden... Wait a second, what are you trying to say? No. I mean, their relationship goes south, and they decide that they're not going to be together anymore. And one party or the other gets really ticked off and decides to get back at him or her. Unfortunately, usually it's to get back at her. And the naked photos or the sex tape gets on the internet. There are revenge porn sites now set up where people submit the videos or naked photos of their exes to get back at them. And evidently, it's not really against the law. I mean, hey, you obtained the photo voluntarily and legally, so therefore you can use it, right? Wait a second, what about the idea that I have the right to any representation of myself and that you don't have the right just to use it willy-nilly, and especially a naked one, out on the internet on the World Wide Web? Because once it's out there, you can never pull it back. Even if you get it off one site, all these other people have already downloaded it and they can put it up on all kinds of sites. Well, up until now, the only way that the offended party or injured party could do anything about it was to sue them in civil court, and it was very difficult and very expensive to do, and they were trying to go after the websites that had it up there. Well, these revenge porn websites were making money on this, but the person who actually gave them the photo supposedly wasn't, so since they weren't making money on it, it was okay to do it. A Republican state senator in California, Anthony Canella, put forward the law. He said, too many have had their lives upended because of an action of another that they trusted. And the governor, Jerry Brown, there has signed it into law. What do you think? They tried to do this in Florida, and it was rejected because they said there were constitutional free speech concerns. Do you have a free speech? Do you have a First Amendment right to use a naked photo of someone else on the internet? I really find it hard to believe that the founding fathers thought that you would have the right to ruin somebody's life by misusing a photo that they trusted you with. But I'll tell you, if you don't think this is going to ever happen to you, if you have children, you need to start thinking about this, because it is very popular for the younger people, teens to young 20s, to even young 30s. This evidently is much more popular for them to do. They're doing a lot more of the sexting, a lot more of the sex videos. I mean, look, all their heroes do it. Paris Hilton, the Kardashians. I mean, you go right down the list of these people that have become famous really for doing nothing great, but partly because they have a sex video out that supposedly, you know, was done against their will and released. Yeah, right. But this is what you got to tell your young daughters and your sons. Listen, don't believe this, oh, it'll only be between you and me. Oh, this will never get out. Oh, I'd never share it with anybody. Oh, there's nothing to worry about, honey. I love you. I would never do anything to hurt you. It only takes that much of a breakup and that much anger, and it's everywhere. And by the way, ladies, let me just tell you something. Guys are going to share that with somebody. Oh, I'll just show my best friend. Look at how hot my woman is. Teenager. You don't think he's going to show his best friend? Who's then going to show his best friend? Because once you text it to your best friend, he's going to text it to his best friend, and he's going to text it to his best friend, and next thing you know, it's revenge porn big time. Really sad they had to do that. But I don't know. I actually think that's probably a law that you need to have. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Last one I wanted to get to before I hit a couple of your phone calls here. Tom Clancy passed away today. Well, actually, last night, I believe they said in the Baltimore hospital. We heard about it today. He was only 66. Tom Clancy. Some unbelievable books. Hunt for Red October was his first one, which is amazing because that one was awesome. And he also, the one that I remember big time, was Dead of Honor, because he wrote that in 1994. And if you remember in that book, you know how when they have a joint session of Congress, like for a State of the Union speech or something, everybody in Congress is there, the president, most of his cabinet, the Supreme Court, I mean, all these people, all in one building. And they have one guy that's held out just in case, so that if something horrible happens, the government's not completely gone in terms of the elected officials. And in the book, Dead of Honor, 1994, a rogue Japanese pilot commits suicide with a 747. He's on the flight path of Reagan National and just veers off straight into the joint session of Congress. kills them all, and you got to start over. Eerily similar to what happened in 2001, not to a joint session of Congress, but to the World Trade Center. By the way, he said, I never saw that coming, 9-11. That is not even close to what I saw in my book, Dead of Honor. I couldn't stretch my brain that far. I could imagine a suicide pilot. I couldn't imagine a suicide team effort. He was a big-time conservative. He was a big-time supporter of the military. He was a big-time supporter of Ronald Reagan. He had some great, great books and great movies. He will be missed. 66 years old. They're not releasing exactly why he died, what his cause of death was. It's his right. He's a private citizen. He doesn't have to tell you. But very, 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 very sad to see him pass away at such a young age. Let me get Todd in Florida, WFTL. Todd, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. I wanted to call and say a couple things about the whole Obamacare government shutdown.
Sure, go ahead. Quickly, we're running out of time.
Okay. First of all, President Obama was a state senator before he was president. Second of all, Obamacare, or the Affordable Health Care Act, was actually a Republican plan, including the individual mandate. And thirdly, if we're going to shut down government, let's start by not paying Congress, because these are the dorks that can't get their crap together. And actually,
I agree with that. Hey, Todd, thanks for getting in. I agree with that last part. No, Obamacare was not a Republican plan. There were some conservatives who had talked about perhaps requiring people to buy insurance. It was never going to pass a Republican Congress. And it's stupid. And it should not happen. You should never have the government telling you what you have to buy. Better ways to deal with that. Thanks for letting me in on the Savage Nation. Michael Savage. He'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.